Amen. Well, my wife and I would like to thank you for allowing us to come, and we've enjoyed the fellowship and the great preaching by Brother Ruckman, and for all the meals that was provided, and for the good place to rest, and we thank you for your kindness to us. I invite you to open your Bibles tonight to the little book of Jude. And we'll consider a thought there from this passage tonight. In fact, we're going to be looking at the last two verses of the book of Jude, and that is chapter 1. When I was in Tennessee Temple, our instructor said, "How many have read all three chapters of Jude?" And half the class raised their hand. But that's Jude, just Jude. The Lord is given warning in the early part of the chapter. He's giving a warning of the dangers that there was on every hand. And he was telling them to watch themselves as well as others, lest fear grip their heart and paralyze their faith and put them out of the service of liberty and love. And the antidote is offered in these verses, in verse 24 and 25. "Now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." Would you pray with us? Heavenly Father, thank you for these days that we've had together. And thank you for Unity Baptist Church and for each member, each person who has a part in it. I do pray that you might accept our thanks for your goodness and mercy to us. We thank you for the goal that was met for last year's Faith Promise commitment and for the new commitments that were made today. I do pray that you would bless your people, and as they labor for you, I pray that you would increase their faith. May others be one to Christ, and may the church grow for the glory of the Lord Jesus. We thank you and praise thee for all you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, the Bible said in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 that our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. We are grateful. Paul wrote it this way in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. He said, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." In the book of Psalm 48 and 14, the psalmist said, "This God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." I'm thankful for the fact that I know him, but I'm grateful that he knows me. Amen. And so I want us to consider two or three little thoughts tonight from this. After giving them warning and exposing the apostasy in the early part of Jude, he comes to verse 24, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling." Now, I want to say this. As a Christian, you're not saved by struggling and pulling and no. Now, you're saved by trusting the Lord. He's the one who paid the price for our salvation, and we cannot contribute to that. We come as bankrupt sinners, and we trust Jesus as our Savior. And so he is able not only to save to the uttermost, he is able to keep us from falling. And so after warning all the apostasy and everything, by the way, that could be so applicable for today. All the apostasy and all the wickedness that goes on today. He said, "Now, I want to remind you that our God is able to keep you from falling." Our God is not a cross between Grandpa and Santa Claus. He is a holy God. He is a mighty God. He is an almighty God. He is a faithful God. He is a God, according to Malachi 3, verse 6, that does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we go to heaven, it'll be by the grace of our God. Amen. Are you listening? But our God is able to keep us from falling. And it speaks of his power. It speaks of his ability. Now, notice with me, first of all, we consider his ability. In the book of Romans, chapter number 8, let's look there just for a minute. In the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, and I'd like to call your attention to verse number 31 of Romans, chapter number 8. The Bible said, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Could I tell you that God is for us? That God loves us, and God is interested in your life and in my life. And one of the most overwhelming thoughts that I can think is that fact that a holy God is thinking about me. But he thinks about you too. He thinks about his children. And so he said, in Romans 8:31, he said, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, back up with me, please, to the book of Psalms, and let's look at Psalm 46. That is a familiar psalm and a great psalm. By the way, they're all great, but we're thinking application in Psalm 46. I want to look at a couple of verses in Psalm 46, and let's look at verse number 11. The Bible said in Psalm 46, verse 11, he said, the Lord of hosts is with me. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He is with me. Each step I take, he is with me. And I'm reminded again, and if you'll notice with me, verse number 7, he said, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Aren't you glad you have a refuge? And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say to you, his ability, well, I want to give you one other verse. And in the book of Isaiah 41 and verse number 13, Isaiah 41, I love Isaiah 41, verse 10, where it said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. But in verse 13, he said, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Amen. I'm telling you, that's better being in Allstate's hands. Amen. He said, I will help you. And he's able what? He's able to keep us from falling. It extends to every promise. His ability, it extends to every promise. Back to the book of Romans again. In the book of Romans chapter number 4, let's look at Romans chapter 4 and consider verse number 21. And the Bible said in Romans chapter 4, and verse number 21, he said, he staggered not, speaking of Abraham, he staggered not at the promises of God, though through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. What God promised, God is able to perform. So what he promised, he is able to keep us from falling. Now, I want to say it this way, that ability extends to every age. And in the book of Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25, the Bible tells us that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He is, and his ability, it's beyond human knowledge, his ability, the ability of God. It remains to be seen. I believe it was Moody who said, it remains to be seen what God can do with one man that is totally surrendered to God. And I'm telling you, you think about the faith promise, and it's encouraging to think about here is the increase after all the COVID and after all the other circumstances. But again, we're reminded that our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And so it's beyond our knowledge. And again, it extends to the day of days. Paul said in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, he said, nevertheless, for I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Don't you think, don't be worried about the Lord forgetting you. He knows who you are. And he remembers that we are flesh. He remembers that we're just man. But he's able to extend to every promise, extends to all ages, it extends beyond our knowledge, and extends to the day of days, but it extends to the imparting of life to the dead. Hebrews chapter number 11. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 and consider with me verse number 19 of Hebrews chapter number 11. And the scripture reads this way in verse number 19. He said, accounting that God was able to raise him even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. And this is where Abraham is offering Isaac. He's willing to offer Isaac upon the altar. And he said, now I'm confident of the fact that God was able to raise him up. God did not want Isaac's life. He wanted Abraham's heart. And so it comes back to the fact that it extends to the imparting of life. Amen. But notice with me, secondly tonight, the Bible said back in our text, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I want you to consider with me his watchfulness. He watches our steps. He watches, he guards us, he keeps us, and he watches us. Just as in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts and verse number 4, the soldiers guarded the prison. And then I'm reminded again that Jesus prayed for us to be guarded in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, John chapter number 17. And let's look, please, at verse number 12. John 17 and 12, the Bible said, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. He said, I have kept them. Amen. Aren't you glad for the keeping power? I understand this, that it extends to every promise, his ability, and to all ages beyond human knowledge, and to extends to the day of all days, but extends to imparting life to the dead. And we consider the watchfulness as the soldiers watch the prison, so Jesus prayed for us to be guarded. And I find again Paul's appreciation of that in 2 Timothy 1 and 12. It extends to every minute detail of our life. Our steps, are just one step at a time. And David said there's just one step between me and death. And you understand the wicked watch our, they watch our steps. Back up with me in the book of let's look at Psalm 56. Psalm 56, and we're reminded that folks are watching our steps. And Psalm 56, and I'm looking at verse number 6. The Bible said, they gather themselves together, they hide themselves, they mark my steps when they wait for my soul. The wicked watch my steps. Now, here again, the power of influence. You recognize this. We all have influence. We can influence folks for God and for the things of God, or for things that's not pleasing to God. God watches our steps. Psalm 37. Notice with me verse number 23. This is such a familiar verse. But the Bible said in Psalm 37, 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. God, our steps are ordered by the Lord. Now, the angels guard the steps. Notice Psalm 91. In Psalm 91, we're reminded of that ministry, Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12. And here's the way the scriptures read in verse number 11. He said, for he shall give his angels charge. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And so I'm reminded of the fact tonight that God, I believe in guardian angels. Some people don't believe that, but I believe in guardian angels. Now, in the book of Job, chapter 31, in verse number 4, we're reminded that God counts our steps, and he is able to keep us from falling. Now, notice with me again. I want you to consider the fact that it is the purpose of his keeping us. Back to Jude. The Bible said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. What's his purpose in keeping us from falling? It is a fact that the purpose is to present us faultless before him. There's none of us that is sinless, but and we have no righteousness of our own. But we are who are saved are clothed in the righteousness of God. And he is able to present, he is able to keep us from falling. His goal, his purpose is to present us faultless before him. Now, John chapter 17, 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, notice with me verse number 24. In John chapter 17 and verse number 24, I read. The Bible said in verse number 24, he said, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. He said, here's the goal, the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, here's what he wants, to present us faultless before the Father in heaven. In the book of Hebrews again, Hebrews chapter number 2, and we'll consider Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Hebrews 2, and the Bible said in verse number 8, he said, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he hath put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for, listen, I mean, he's tasting death for every man, tasting death for every man. And so here's a prayer of the Lord Jesus, and here is the plan of the Father. Notice Ephesians chapter number 1. In the book of Ephesians chapter number 1, I'd like to read Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 4 and verse number 5. Ephesians 4, verse 1, verse Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 4 and 5. And here's the way it reads when I get to Ephesians, verse 4. He said, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. That is the purpose of Christ. And so now, don't get confused about the statement or the word predestination. The Lord has not predestined anybody to go to hell. The word predestination as applied in the scriptures is for believers. And that is the promise of God that he has promised to conform us to the image of his dear son. Amen. And so when I got saved, I am sanctified positionally in Christ. But then there's a progressive sanctification as I grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. I'm becoming more like him. I should be. And then again, there is the permanent sanctification, and that'll take place when the Lord takes us home to glory. And so it is this. He said, this is a plan of the Father. Romans chapter number 8 again, in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, I want you to see with me, this is so familiar. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, he said, for whom he did foreknow, them he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. What I'm saying tonight, his purpose, his goal, is to present us faultless before the Father in heaven. His purpose is to present you, that is to place you, or to station you, to set you in a fixed place. Revelation chapter 3, the third chapter of the book of the Revelation. I'm looking at Revelation chapter number 3, and let's look at verse number 12. Revelation 3 and 12, the Bible said, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Now, what am I saying? That his purpose is to present us faultless before the Father in heaven. And so in the book of 1 John, chapter number 3. 1 John, chapter number 3. And if you'll notice with me, 1 John, chapter 3, notice with me, verse number 2. He said, "Beloved, now we're the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And so again, this is a condition. We'll be presented faultless. That's his goal. He's warning all the apostasy and all the wickedness. And then he said, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling." And not only that, he's able to present you before his presence with exceeding glory. And so back in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible said in verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." And in that text, he talks about presenting the bride, a spotless bride, a wrinkle-free bride. That's his goal. That's his purpose. And so he gave himself for that. And so the word used of Jesus, he said he's going to present them spotless. Notice again, he said, "Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding glory." Now, notice with me thirdly tonight, not only his ability, but consider his purpose, but consider the joy. Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, he said, enduring the cross, despising the shame. What he's doing, what? He's looking the joy before him. In Hebrews chapter 12, that was a passage of scripture that was used the night that the Lord confirmed in my heart his will for my life. But he said, "Wherefore, seeing we're also encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." And so that's a joy set before him. That word joy means to leap. And again, at the announcement of the birth of John, there was he leaped in the womb of Elizabeth. And the words used of the resurrection, the matter of being raised up. And so how's he going to do it? He's going to do it with exceeding joy. He's going to present us faultless before his throne. Now, could I say to you, there's not any faultless person here tonight. But the Lord's work is not complete yet. He's still working on us. And then notice with me again, as I look to the next verse, the Bible said, "To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." And so he's saying, in light of the fact that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, in light of the fact that he's able to keep us from falling, and the goal is that he's going to present us faultless before the Father. And he said he's going to do it with exceeding joy. Then what should be our response? We ought to adore him or praise him for all that he has done, all that he is doing, and all that he has promised to do. And so I come back to this. For we praise him for his wisdom. Notice again, verse 25, Jude. He said to the only wise God, our Savior. He's wise. And James chapter 1, the Bible said, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." Now, be right before his wisdom. He's the only wise God. That speaks of mental excellencies at the highest and a combination of wisdom and goodness. And so we praise him for his wisdom. And if I need wisdom, I can ask God for it. And he promised to give it. And then again, he said, we praise him for his wisdom. We praise him for that he is our Savior. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks of the Lord himself and that gift that he's given us. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians 15:57. He said, "But thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Jesus said in John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." In John 6:44, he said, "No man can come to the Father except the Spirit draw him. And so he's we give him praise, for he is our Savior. He's the one and only Savior. Back in the book of Isaiah, he said, Isaiah 45:22, he said, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there's none else." And it's all, he's the only way. Peter wrote it in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. He said, "For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Jesus Christ is the door. He said, "I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in." By the way, that's the only way you get to heaven, is to come through the door. It is an open door. Amen. Thank God. It is the only door. Jesus is that way. And so, the wages of sin is death, the Bible said, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, he said, we praise him for his wisdom, and we praise him for being our Savior. But then he said, we praise him for his glory. It speaks of the brightness and the brilliance. He said in Acts 22 and verse 1, Paul testified at his conversion because of that great light that had shone. He said, "I could not see for the glory." I could not see for the glory. The glory of the Lord shone at the birth of Christ. The glory of the Lord will lighten the city in the book of the Revelation. And we're reminded of the transfiguration. The glory of God was demonstrated on the Mount of Transfiguration. And so we praise him. Now unto him that is able to, not only can he save me, he's going to keep me from falling. And his goal is to present me faultless before his presence in glory. Amen. With exceeding joy. And so he said, we're adoring him. Now unto him, we praise him for his wisdom, for his Savior, and for his Lordship, and for his glory. But then we praise him for his majesty. He said this, it's a kingly presence of the ruler of the universe. It speaks of his dignity. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 6, when the Bible said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." And you know the account, Isaiah said, "Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of glory." And when he saw that, he saw the King. He recognized his unworthiness. He recognized his need. He said, "I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of glory." And the Lord said, "Whom shall I send? And he'll go for me." And Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." That's missions. Notice with me again. I'm saying he's seated this evening at the right hand of the majesty on high. You understand that there's only one person of Godhead that has a body, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He's making intercession for you. He's presenting our... Amen. Could I say, when the devil comes to accuse us before God, the Lord Jesus said, "What sins are you talking about?" I'm glad that God not only forgives sins, he forgets sins. And so the world needs to hear that. He said, "Mine eyes have seen the King." That's Isaiah. He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He reigns and he's clothed in with majesty. I'm speaking of the one that we are praising. We are adoring him for who he is. And then for his dominion. It extends to the place of rule. He rules over us. It speaks of his omnipresence. I'm glad that God never leaves us. And again, the psalmist said in Psalm 139, verse 7 through 10, he said, "Whether shall I go from thy presence?" You can't get away from God. Brother Billy Mitchell said, folk talk about getting away from God. Said, how can you get away from someone who said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee"? And you understand tonight that God has left us here with purpose. He has all power. We praise him for his authority, his right. He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And he said, "Lo, I am with you." I thank God for his omnipotence. He was before all times. He's before all ages. And now unto him, all of the ages to come, now unto him be glory and honor and majesty and dominion and power, both now and forever. Now I want to tell you something. When God saved your soul, if you're saved tonight, when God saved your soul, you're no longer your own. You've been bought with a price. And we ought, Paul said, whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, we ought to do it all to the glory of God. And so in the matter of passing out a tract, the matter of knocking on a door, the matter of giving the faith promise, it ought to be all for the glory of God. And God is able to keep us from falling. He's who he said he was. He changes. And he's promised this. He said in the book of Acts, he said to those disciples, he said, if I go, I'm going to come again. This same Jesus is coming again. And so it ought to behoove us to be busy about our Father's business because Jesus is coming. And we're not only to be held accountable for what we did, but what we could do for God. But I just want to bless his name tonight. I praise him for who he is. I don't believe in heaven there'll be a spit and whittle club. I believe that we'll praise the Lamb of God throughout all eternity. We'll be crying, "Worthy is the Lamb," and sing with the songwriter, "Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all." He is our Savior. He is our Lord. And he's worthy of our praise and worthy of our submission to him.